You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Good morning. I want to add my welcome to you if you are here in person or if you are watching us online. And it's a privilege to be here and share the word of God with you this morning. So as many of you or some of you know, we are going through a series called Healthy Living. And today, the theme that I chose to speak on is healthy relationships. And so that's something that I think JP spoke about that before. But God has just put something in my heart that I want to focus on what he put in my heart. And the reason why I picked this theme, I have been reading a book and I have been very challenged and encouraged, and God has been speaking to me. And so I want to share a little bit of what I feel God is speaking to me. And I pray that he speaks to you this morning, but just where you're at, because our God is a loving God, and he loves speaking to his children. And the way that he's going to speak to you might be different from the way that God has spoken to me. But just comes, you know, God loves meeting our own needs, and he wants us to grow in him and also in the purpose that he has for us. So I do pray that, you know, he speaks to you right where you are at this morning. And so let's just open our hearts to hear what God has for us and be kind to ourselves, because we are all in a very different journey. And so your journey might be different from my journey. So he's going to speak to you in a different way. So that's what he spoke to me, and I want to share that with you. And I want to start reading from Genesis 2, verse 9. I'm going to read lots of scriptures, and I'm not going to apologize for that, because that's the word of God, and that speaks louder than anything else, and it speaks deeper into our hearts, and it can make a difference in our hearts when we read and when we speak the word of God. And so if we start from Genesis 2, from verse 9, it says, "The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" So to this point, God had a perfect relationship with man. They talked to each other. God was among man. And so God was there, and they walked together. But later on the next chapter, the serpent comes to the woman that God had given to Adam as his companion. And so the serpent comes and puts doubts in the woman's mind. And so the serpent said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat from the fruit, the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So after this, the sense of belonging was lost. So fear and shame take place at this point. And so their relationship was broken, and there was sadness, loneliness, and the beautiful and transparent relationship that God had with man was broken, just went. And in verse 8, it says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, 'Where are you?' So they hide because they are fearful and they are full of shame. So they hide. So that was, God had been, you know, because their relationship had been broken. Because what they did, there were consequences. So they were driven out of the garden. And so they couldn't live there anymore. And that, what a shock, coming from a place of an intimacy with God. And now they were disconnected to God. And they were cut off from the lives that they knew before. And so the access to God's presence had been lost at that point. But the good thing is, the good news is, God doesn't leave it as it is there. So because God loves us, he loves his children. He never abandons us. He's always there for us. So God has a plan. So God comes and he goes after man. So where are you? And then God goes after man because we belong to God, because God created us to live with him, not to be disconnected. And because of that, God goes after us. And even now, you know, God pursues and he never gives up. He's always pursuing us because God created so many things, but he created us on his own image. And he wants to have a close relationship to each one of us. Each one of us. He calls us by name. So God goes and he pursues us. And he has pursued us since then. And he never gives up. So from the Garden of Eden to Mount Sinai, from time to time, God speaks to men. So he spoke to Adam, Abraham, Noah, Jacob, Isaac, and God spoke to many men, and he spoke to Moses at the burning bush. But in Exodus 25 at Mount Sinai, God revealed to Moses a new way that he's going to relate to humankind. And he asks Moses to create a dwelling place where God's presence would continually abide among the people. And so in Exodus 25:8, he says, "Construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them." So first, God asks Moses to build an ark, the box. A box to put the tablets of the covenant inside this box, so the ark. And second, and the tablets that God was going to give them. And second, God asks Moses to build a table. That's my main point. And in verse 30, he says, "Put the bread of the presence on the table to be before me at all times." So God instructs Moses to build a place where people can meet him regularly, where he dwells among them. And the bread of the presence was the centerpiece on that table. In Leviticus 24:8, it says, this bread is to be set out before the Lord regularly, Sabbath after Sabbath, on behalf of the Israelites as a lasting covenant. So this represents the covenant between God and his people. So at the tabernacle, there is a table prepared with the bread of the presence in the middle of the table, inviting people to come, reminding them about the covenant that God had made with them. And now, who is the bread of presence? And in John 6:35, Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So Jesus is the bread of life that brings satisfaction. He satisfies, but also brings redemption. So in Jesus, we have redemption. And so can we picture this table with Jesus being in the center, representing provision and presence? So he provides, and he's there, he's present. And so a table is a place where God dwells and he provides for his people. And now, the table that God asks Moses to build is full of instructions, and all the measurement and the material and everything step by step. But God is leaving us with a principle for the table here. And I looked at the dictionary, the meaning for principle. And it says, principle is a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as a foundation for a system of belief or behavior. So a principle is a truth that gives us the freedom to apply this in many areas of our lives. And so God meets us in a supernatural way around the table, at the table. So the question is, are we preparing this table? Are we coming to the table regularly? And are we focusing on Jesus, on being in the center of our table? God is inviting each one of us to come to the table. And the table can be symbolic, but I also want to talk about literally, you know, the table, our dining room table, the table that we meet together and the table that we put Jesus in the middle. And I looked at some research, and are three of them that I'd like to read. And it says, results of several studies have confirmed that families who take time to eat together at the dinner table do better in every area, body, mind, soul, and the spirit. The other one, research from the University of Oxford has revealed that the more often people eat with others, the more likely they are to feel happy and satisfied with their lives. And according to a study by the University of Illinois, families who eat together regularly have better communication and are more likely to be closer emotionally. So we are invited to prepare this table where Jesus is at the center. And it's not just a table to satisfy our stomach, but it's a table that brings provision, but also presence. So Jesus said, "Come to the table, those who are thirsty, and I will give you living water." So firstly, when we come to the table, whether by ourselves or with family or friends, let's picture Jesus in the middle. So let's be reminded of the bread of the presence. Let's be reminded that Jesus is there, and he is the provision, he is the provider, but he is also the presence. And So in the New Testament, we see Jesus living out God's design for the table. In his teachings, in his interactions, many times he's around the table. And he's around the table with his friends, with tax collectors, with sinners, and so on. But many of his teachings are around the table. Many miracles are around the table. And I'd like to mention a few points here. I have 3 points. And that happened when Jesus was around the table. And the first point is, the table is a place of restoration and salvation. And in Luke 19, I'm going to read from Luke 19, verse 1. So Jesus went onto the city of Jericho and was passing through it. There was a rich man named Zacchaeus. He was a leader of those who gathered taxes. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he could not because so many people were there and he was a short man. He ran ahead and got up into a sycamore tree to see him. Jesus was going by that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your house today." At once he came down and was glad to have Jesus come to his house. So Jesus invites himself to go to Zacchaeus' house. And in verse 8, it says, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, see, half of what I own I will give to the poor people. And if I have taken money from anyone in a wrong way, I will pay him back 4 times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today a person has been saved in this house." And so Zacchaeus was this chief of tax collector. And he stole from many people, took money from many people. But once he met Jesus, sat around the table, he was transformed. He wasn't the same anymore. When he met Jesus, everything was transformed in his life. And he was so transformed that he decided to pay back to the people that he stole from. He paid 4 times. He didn't have to do it, but he wanted to because his heart was just full of Jesus' presence. And he just wanted, and he wanted to restore what he had taken from people. He wanted to restore. So it wasn't just a restoration in his life, but he wanted to restore what he had taken to people. He wanted to give to the poor because he had met Jesus in such a miraculous way that his life was transformed. And so there was freedom. There was freedom for him. And we know that when we meet Jesus, you know, Jesus sets us free. You know, he sets us free. And so Zacchaeus was doing all things wrong. But once he met Jesus, a miracle happened there. And so Jesus meets us where we are, in a different way, but where we are. Jesus meets us, and he brings freedom, and he invites us to live in this freedom. Maybe today we are trapped, and the things that, you know, are in our hearts are just pulling us down, trapping us up. But what Jesus wants to do, he wants to restore, he wants to save, he wants to give us freedom. So we don't need to live with, you know, this weight on our shoulders anymore. But we can be free because Jesus has set us free. And so if there is anything that is holding us back from this freedom that Jesus offers, that Jesus gives us, so we can let go. And the second point I have is the table is a place of sharing and revelation. And in Luke 24, after Jesus rose from the dead, but before he ascended into heaven, he was walking along the road of Emmaus, and then he met Cleopas and his friend. So they walked together for a while, but they did not recognize Jesus. They were walking with him, but did not recognize him. But they did recognize Jesus at one point. And it was when Jesus was breaking bread around the table. And it says in verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him. So Jesus brings revelation. And also, he teaches us to share. That's a good principle, to share. So Jesus wants us to share. Not just share our food, but he wants us to share our food too. But he wants us to share our lives. He wants us to come around the table. It's a good place or any other place. But, you know, we can share wisdom. We can share encouragement. We can ask God for discernment, and we can share words that can change people's lives forever. So the table is a place of sharing and of revelation. And so it brought back to their memory when they saw what Jesus was doing. And how many things, how many experiences we have around our table. Maybe it was when we were little. Maybe we have experienced things that when we were little, and we still remember them, and they keep us going. Or maybe we didn't have good experience around our table when we were little. But hey, God is teaching us now. We can give good experience. We can learn from Jesus, you know, to share life together. And that, now my third point, another place that miracles happen around the table. It's a table is a place of celebration. And there is a story in the Bible that some of you might know, and it's the story of the prodigal son. And so there is this man who has two sons. And the younger son asks for his inheritance. And then he goes to a faraway land, and he spends all his inheritance. He spends it all to a point that he was starving to death. And then all of a sudden, you know, it came to his sense. At my father's house, even the servants have plenty to eat. And I'm here, starving for death? No, I repent. I'm going to go back to my father's house. Even if it's to be a servant, I'm going to go back to my father's house. So off he goes back home. And when the father sees him from a distance, the father runs. And at that point, the father could have said so many things. Said, why did you do that? Where is the money? What did you do with the money that I gave you? Look at you. And he could come and say so many things and point out so many mistakes that he had done. But that's not what the father did. What the father did, he ran and he hugs him and he kisses him. And because the son that was lost is now found. And so the father says to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So this story demonstrates that a table is a place of celebration, of repentance, of forgiveness. And so he's been restored at the table. And many times, I don't know, if our children, let's say that we have children, if they're at school and they have a rough day and maybe they've been rejected or bullied or maybe they had a day full of achievements. So when they come back home, what are they going to find? Are they going to find a table with food and with understanding? So that's, you know, the table is a place of restoration. And whatever happened on that day, you know, we want to provide a table and understanding because that's the way that our God is. He is a God that has acceptance for each one of us. Whatever we've done, God has his arms open wide to each one of us. And he doesn't judge us, but he accepts and he loves us. He teaches us, but it's close. Not pointing out our mistakes, but he teaches, he walks with us. Or maybe it's just husband or wife or that come home, had a really busy day, is exhausted. Are we preparing this table with, you know, food and understanding? And maybe it's a friend. It's a friend that is looking for a place of security, where they find safety, where they can talk about their worries, you know, where they just can talk and rejoice together or cry together. So the table is a place where we can celebrate with people. We can celebrate together. And so sometimes, you know, we are tired, aren't we? We are. And sometimes we find it easier just to sit on the sofa in front of the TV. Because, you know, it's easier. We don't have to put the table. We just sit down, put food on the plate, and sit down in front of the TV and eat. But that's not something that I want to make regular in our house. Because this is robbing us from our conversation, from our time together. When we sit around the table, we talk to each other. And when we sit in front of the TV eating, we don't. Because we are focusing on something else. But when we come around the table, we focus on the provider and the presence. So we focus on the provision and the presence. We have Jesus in the middle. And so we don't want to do this regularly or having our mobile phones, laptops, and everything on the table that can be very distractive. But we just want to be with each other. We want to rejoice together. Or maybe we want to cry together. We want to have freedom to talk about our day. And so let's create. And, you know, God is really speaking to me. And maybe he's going to speak to you in a completely different way. But I can only share what is in my heart. And that's what God has been speaking to me. You know, let's prepare a table where we can come together and celebrate and rejoice together and talk. And I just want to leave two questions now. And one is, are there worries, conflicts, troubles, disappointments keeping us away from the table? And in Psalm 23, it says, Dave says, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." So David feels confident in the Lord and trusts in him. So God prepares a table for us in the middle of our enemies, our worries. That's our enemies, our worries, our disappointments, our conflicts, our doubts. So God prepares a table for us before our troubles and worries and disappointments. And He is in the center. He is with us. He never abandoned us. And so we can come to the table knowing that God is there with us. But that's not what the enemy wants. He doesn't want us to go to the table because he doesn't want us to resolve our problems, our conflicts. He doesn't want us to live in peace. He doesn't want us to share the word of God. He doesn't want us to encourage each other. He doesn't want us to be honest how we feel so he can come and bring a word of wisdom, of encouragement. So around the table, our relationships can be restored. So there's nothing that can separate us from that because Jesus is there with us all the time. And in Romans 38, it says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries for tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord." So God is there. God's love. He wants to pour out his love on us. And the other question is the business of life preventing us from being around the table? Are we too busy? Do we have too many meetings? Or too many activities that we cannot come to the table. So in Revelation 3:20, it says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." So Jesus is at the door and he's knocking. Are we too busy that we can't hear the knock of Jesus? Is there any room in our hearts that are completely closed and we don't want to open and be restored? Because Jesus is at the door. And it might be that you haven't made a commitment to walk with Jesus, but he's there, he's knocking. So let's give our attention to Jesus. Or maybe we've been walking with Jesus for a long time. We've been coming to church for a long time. But still, there are things that are shut away. And we don't want to give that. But God wants us as a whole. And he wants to eat with us. That's what it says here. So open the door. I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. So we always have a choice. Back in Genesis, we read earlier in the garden, we had the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of the good and evil. So there was a choice, and we always have a choice. So what are we choosing? Are we choosing to come to Jesus' presence, come to the table, and with all our hearts? And I think it's really important, and I don't want to neglect eating together because I think it's powerful. Because we saw many miracles, many things that happened when Jesus was around the table eating with people and or going and inviting them to eat with them. So it must be something powerful. That's where we can sit and actually face each other and talk. So we have attention. And so the table is not just about filling our stomach. That's part, but it's not all. That's not the most important. And it's about sharing life together. And so the table is essential and it builds identity in us as well. And I know that we all have different experiences in our lives. And maybe, you know, there are some people here that live on their own and think, oh, it's all right for you to talk about the table coming together and eating together. But I don't have anyone. Firstly, you know, Jesus, we need to get the table and Jesus is in the center. But also, maybe, you know, we need to be people that would invite these people to share meals with us. Or maybe I'm on my own, but I can prepare a meal and invite people. So that's the same. It's not different. And I'm not saying about very complicated things. Even if it's a coffee and a cake or anything, but let's come around the table and let's do this more often. And so just last year for a few months, Stephen, Vicky, and lots of volunteers, you know, they had in their hearts to feed people that probably many of them never had the opportunity to sit around the table. And they were there, and they prayed with them, and they sat around the table, and they ate together. And that experience that they had, and, you know, it was amazing. We don't know what that made in their hearts. We have no idea the results of that. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's what everyone has to do. Like I said, it's not a burden. This is not to be a burden to anybody, but it's to give us freedom of what God is speaking to us and what is our part. And so maybe, you know, we don't, like when the children were little in our house, we used to have a meal together every day. Now we have so many activities that sometimes we don't. And sometimes we choose to eat really late after they come back at 9 o'clock because that's the only time that we can sit around the table. And so whatever suits you. But I think, and I really miss that, and reading this book, as I said, you know, just made me think of our everyday life. You know, what are we doing? Are we too busy doing our own things, our business of the day life, or can we spare a time to sit around the table, eat and talk and have a conversation? It's whatever Jesus is speaking to you this morning. I'm just sharing my heart, and I want to be changed. I want to be transformed more and more to do what God wants me to do. And so if, you know, sometimes we are busy with, you know, we say that we don't want mobile phones on the table because they are a distraction. We are not that busy that we cannot spare half an hour without answering a message or a call. So, and even like, you know, with Gabriella being at uni now, we've eaten, you know, that we have the mobile phone a bit far, but on a video call, because, you know, she's probably feeling that, you know, many times she's eating by herself in her bedroom. But, you know, firstly, even if we are by ourselves, let's focus on the provider. Let's focus on Jesus. He is the centerpiece of our table. And then let's rise to come together. Let's live the church in Acts that, you know, we came together and we shared. And so in all of that, we learned to share. We can learn from Jesus, you know, to share. And there is no such thing that my house is not big enough or my house is not organized enough. It doesn't matter. It's about us. It's about people. It's not about what it looks like. It's not even about your cooking, if it's good or not. It's about us being together and sharing what we've got, sharing our hearts, sharing what we've got. But, you know, if it's simple, that's it. We are going to have simple. And that's okay. And if it's very posh, that's okay too. But we need to be ourselves. Amen? So that's what God is speaking to me. And it's there. for you. But don't forget that, you know, to come to the table where Jesus is at the center. So even when we pray around the table, you know, we are acknowledging the presence of God with us. That's all. Thank you.